Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's give him a hand, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, when a man's truly born again, it never gets old to worship the Lord. Amen. You know, there's a charismatic move in the land. Yes, I know. And they shout and they don't know what they're shouting about sometimes. Amen. But when you've been filled with God's Spirit,
hallelujah,
and he sets you free from sin, and he put your name down in the book of life, how can you not be excited about that? Because you were destined to hell and to perish. Amen. And you know, for eternal damnation and suffering.
Yep.
And it wasn't by what you've done.
No, right.
It wasn't by who you are or what doctrine you're in or what church you go to.
Right.
It was simply by the mercies of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That he come and saved you and set you apart and filled you with his power. Amen.
Amen.
That you could be an overcomer and walk a victorious
praise
life. We Christians don't hang our head down going, oh, well, you know. You know, come on, man. We got the victory, man. Amen. We're overcomers.
Amen.
The Bible said we're, you know, more than conquerors. Lord. Amen.
Right.
I mean, you know, come on now, these old dried up Christian people, you know, that, well, it's got to be so hard to go to church, you know. And they go there, and they sit in there, and they look like they're upset. They look like they're mad at the preacher. But they go to the ball game, and some monkey runs across a field line or a goal line, and they're jumping up and down and shouting, but you can't do it at church. Amen. I tell you what, I got something to shout about tonight.
Praise
I've been set free, hallelujah, by the blood of my Lord and Savior,
Glory.
Jesus
hallelujah.
Christ. I've been saved, amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. If a man ain't excited about his salvation, he ain't got it.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you say, well, you know, I got set free from drugs. I got set free from alcohol. Well, praise God for that.
That's
but brethren, I got set free from the carnal mind. That's enmity with God and God hates.
Amen.
Amen. That's something to talk about. People talk about those things, but I got set free from being a businessman, Brother John. So in love with the world, so in love with money and making money and finances, the church would welcome me in and make me a deacon. Oh, he's a money man. He's an entrepreneur in the neighborhood, and they make you a deacon, but you're carnal-minded on your way to hell. And I got set free from that. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We need to get saved from the carnal mind. Amen. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Again, it says the carnal mind is enmity with God and death. Amen. Amen. It said man's ways are not God's ways.
Right.
Amen. And you know, the Bible said the way of a man is leads us to destruction.
That's right.
Amen. And a man's ways are right in his own eyes. And the Bible said we as men need to mortify this man every day. Oh, I had a good day yesterday. What about today?
That's right.
Kill out that guy today.
Praise God.
Amen.
Every day.
And I always sell this to people. When you talk about mortifying out Brother Ed or Brother Rob or Brother Randy or Sister Hannah here, when you talk about killing something, don't just talk about killing something every day. Bring something alive.
There you go. Yes.
And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He lives in us. He walks in us. He dwells in us. He speaks to us. Amen. By sheep know my voice, the strangers won't follow.
Amen.
Amen, John. Amen. Amen, Robert.
Amen.
Come on, man. You know, we act like this God's off on some distant planet somewhere. But we're two or three come together, he's in the midst of us. He filled my heart.
Hallelujah.
He filled my soul. And I'm overflowing with the love of God.
Hallelujah.
That's what we are. We're the sons of God.
That's right.
Who said we canceled camp meeting, brother? Amen.
It's good.
Come on, praise God,
it's
brother.
Different.
It just had to be canceled out for some that couldn't find no motels, man. We're going to have church, friends.
Amen.
Amen. We'll just keep on getting it. Amen. You're going to be with me tomorrow night, brother? Jim, you didn't make no new schedules or nothing, did you? Praise God. So you're going to be here with me, right? Brother Charles, you're going to be back over here with me too? Well, praise God.
Amen.
We got a brother Steve back here. Looked like a... Don't want to mess with him. He's a big boy. I tell you what, it took a little more Holy Ghost to fill him up than it did me. I'm a one quarter. He's a two quarter. Amen. And don't mess with him. Amen. Some of us need bodyguards. He looked like he'd take care of himself. Amen. Amen. He's the kind of guy I need with me in the foreign fields when I get over there preaching. A little Filipino woman goes up to my wife. I'm up there preaching my heart out. She goes, "You better stop him. They'll kill him." And they did. They put some people to death right around the corner where I was preaching. When I was in Africa, they were rolling cars over. And there was 1,200 people killed. They didn't like Christians over there. And I'm over there preaching, son. They pleaded with me. But you know what? I'm called to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And brother, if I'm fortunate enough to get martyred for preaching Jesus Christ, man, hallelujah, praise God. This old man's days are numbered anyway, man. Come on. Amen. And praise God. If
right.
You know, if you go out, brother, doing something for Jesus, amen. I was up here in a church in Raleigh, and an old man, they were telling me, you know, last night, Brother Ron, this guy was standing right there on the front pew, had both hands up in there just worshiping and praising God. And he went, boom, and sat right down in the seat. And they thought, wow. And they just let him, and he just sat there. You know, and they went to worship on the Lord, and the brother went home, man.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we're going to mourn his death. Sons of God don't die.
That's right.
We pass from death unto life.
Amen.
It's called sleep, amen.
That's right.
You need to be careful how you talk, preachers
amen.
Or Christians. Sons of God don't die.
Amen.
The Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. Amen.
Right.
We have been saved and born again. Amen.
Amen.
We got a new identity now, amen. Brother Ed.
Amen.
That old man's passed away. We're new creatures in Christ.
Hallelujah.
What is that? We're the children of God.
Amen.
We got a father named God, our heavenly father. Amen. Come on.
That's right.
And Jesus said he was the firstborn of many brethren, Brother
yes.
Charles.
Glory to God.
So what are we? We're the brothers of the Lord.
That's
amen.
Right. Yes.
We've been given us the same spirit.
Amen.
What did the Bible say, Brother John? Said the same spirit that dwelled in Jesus Christ shall dwell where? In your mortal body.
Yes.
In your mortal body,
yes.
Brother John. So, you know, I got the same spirit that Jesus had. What does that
yes.
mean? Well, you know what he said? He said we could do greater things.
That's what he said.
Oh, wait a minute, brother. Come on. Well, let me tell you, it took his shed blood.
That's right.
And took his death and took his resurrection, and we could do greater things. We could bring people into the kingdom now.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. Let's give him a hand,
yes.
church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to get Brother Steve to come up and testify and introduce himself. Tell us what the Lord's put on his ministry and his heart, some of the accomplishments he's been making. I've never met him till tonight, and I love him. He's my brother.
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes we have family reunions.
That's right.
You ever gone to one and say, hey, man, this is your third cousin set apart 16 times? Well, man, praise God.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say, hey, good to meet you, guy. You're as ugly as your granddad. You know, and praise the Lord. Y'all love the Lord. Brother
Amen.
Steve, if you'll come up. You do any singing, brother? I don't either, but I sure make a noise. Amen. And let's give him a hand, church.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Amen. It's good to be saved. You'd have a seat. Amen. I'd rather be saved and know that my name is written in the book of life than anything in this world that I know.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful, aren't you, that
Amen.
Jesus came by one day where we were and lifted us up. And took us in.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. I've never been here before in my life. I know Brother Eddie and Sister Sheila. I have a ministry. It's called Anchor Baptist Fellowship. We meet in different churches, or used to meet in different churches, the first Friday of each month. And it was a place where all the preachers and Christians, everybody could come together and worship God. And also, hopefully, the unsaved could come in and be saved and added to the church. And anyway, it took a little break for a while, and now we're starting it back. And I had two pastors contact me about 3 weeks ago. We had our first meeting on the first Friday of this month in New Life Baptist Chapel over in Greensboro. And everyone here is invited. Pastor, everyone's invited. This Friday night, if you have nothing else to do, at 7 o'clock over New Life Baptist Chapel in Greensboro, Pastor Ted Cook is the good pastor over there. And we just meet and have a good time in the Lord and just worship God. But your pastor has asked me to give my testimony this evening and talk to you a little bit about my life and about my experience with the Lord. First of all, I found out a long time ago, salvation is in a man. It's not in a religion. It's not in a church organization. It's not in nothing else. It's only in a man. That man's name is Christ Jesus,
yes,
the Lord.
Right.
About April 22nd, on Friday night, 1977, 24 years old. I just moved from Virginia to North Carolina by a series of circumstances. I'd been in the Navy two times before then and traveled pretty much around everywhere just about, and was so completely lost, I didn't even believe in God. The Bible said in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And that's where I was. I was a complete wreck. My life was ruined by sin and all kinds of different things in my life. When I made it to North Carolina, I got a job in a cotton mill in Gastonia, North Carolina, in March 1977. And God began to put Christians like you in front of me and began to tell me about Jesus and how that there was a better way. And I tried to avoid preachers. I tried to avoid churches. I didn't want nothing to do with it. But everywhere I seemed to turn, it'd be somebody standing there looking at me, telling me about Jesus. And you see, the thing about this thing is, that a lot of people don't understand, is God looks on the heart. He saw the hearts of those dear souls in Africa.
Yes, sir.
He saw your heart, and he saw my heart, and he saw the desire way down deep of a need that we didn't even realize that we needed. And so anyway, I went to work one morning, and I walked in the cafeteria, and there's this lady. And what does she do? She invites me to church with her and her husband. I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, I said, I've done everything. I said, there's nothing I have not done. I said, I don't guess it'll hurt to try that. I'll try that too. And so her and her husband was kind enough to pick me up on Sunday morning. That was on, I think it was on a Thursday. And they took me to the house of God. And it was an independent Baptist church. It was a very spirit-filled church. And I sat right about midways in the lap of the Holy Ghost of God. And the preacher got up to preach, and I was looking around at all these people. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know nobody. I didn't know church. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know anything. Blank slate. Drugs and all the things, the evil I had done, had taken everything away from me. And I sat there and I looked around at the peace and the joy that these dear people had. And I was in literal hell, literal torment. When the preacher got up to preach, he just laid my whole life out there. And his big long finger went straight in my face. And I'm sitting there looking at this man and I'm thinking, how in the world does that guy know this? And so when he gave altar call, I didn't go. But I walked out the door and it was another older gentleman standing there with tears running down his face. And he shook my hand and he said, come back, son. I shook my broke my hand away from him. I walked out the door. I thought maybe it might have been something crazy or something. I went on about my way. All that week, see, the Holy Ghost had me marked. And he had convicted me. And I had sat and listened to the truth. Well, I thought about that thing all week long. So Friday night came along. I went to work. It was about 8:30. At Pinckney Cotton Mill in Gastonia, North Carolina. I can take you to the spot if it's still there. I got my job caught up. I sit down on a smoking bench where people took a little break. Wasn't nobody around me. No preacher. Nobody. Just me and the Lord. I sit down on the smoking bench and I bowed my head in reverence to him. And this is all I did. I said, Lord, I said, please, I said, help me. Show me the way because I don't know. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
About that time, it was like a big ball came up in my stomach and just moved up in my throat. And all the filth and the evil that I had done was gone.
Praise God.
And he carried me to the cross, and it was like I was on my knees on the rocks looking at him. And he was a bloody mess. And he loved me.
Right.
He loved me out of my sin.
That's right.
Not in my sin.
Amen.
He loved me out of my sin.
Praise God.
He cleansed me and he washed me pure as the driven snow.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I got up from there and finished my job, I went home, felt like I was walking on air. I mean, the weight of the world was off
yes.
of me. That fear of death that had been hanging over my head for so long was gone. And when I made it back to the church house on that following Sunday, when the pastor had altar call, they didn't have to beg me to come. I shot down here and I bailed right there and put my face in the floor. And I asked him to please help me. And people like you piled in on me and prayed for me and loved me. And they took me in. And Jesus took me in. May 15th, I was baptized in a creek down below the pastor's house. And the pastor and another preacher were standing on both sides of me. The creek water was up about right here on me. And the pastor looked at me and said, "Have you been saved, son?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You sure you know the Lord?" I said, "Oh, yes, sir." And I never will forget as long as I live. He lifted his hand toward heaven, handkerchief over me, put me in the water. I went all the way to the bottom of that thing. And it was Muddy Creek, and my head come to rest on a rock, and I died graveyard dead, just dead. And I didn't know it. They were struggling to get me up out of the water because I'm pretty small. I don't know why they had such a problem. Anyway, they got me up out of the water, and I made about 3 or 4 steps to the bank, and they were singing on the bank, "Shall we gather at the river?" And the Holy Ghost of God hit me again, and I just fell over. And wept under the power of God.
Yes.
And I've never been the same.
Amen.
Since that day. Over almost 40 years ago. And then long about 1989. June 1989. About the second week I believe it was. Brother Mays Jackson. Many of you may have heard of him. An old time preacher is gone now. Passed away some years ago. He was preaching revival at the same church. Again, the Lord came by where I was, sitting back in the back. This time, he got me and he brought me over here. And I put my face in the floor and I stayed over there. I don't know how long. And he just broke me to powder and got me to a place to where I didn't care if I lived, died, nothing. I didn't care about nothing. All I wanted to do was just serve him, walk with him. That's all I wanted to do.
Thank you, Lord.
On my way home, I told him down there, I said, "Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do." I had no idea he was going to call an idiot like me to preach or something. And on the way home, he called me and I said, "Lord, I can't do that." I said, "I made a mess out of my life." I said, "I'm not no good for nothing, Lord. I can't do that." He said, "You go, son." He said, "I'll go with you."
Praise the Lord.
I told him, I said, "Lord, I won't go where you're not, and I'm not going to ask anybody for nothing." And it's been that way now for over 20 years, 26 years.
Praise the Lord.
And he's allowed me, preacher.
Yes, sir.
He's allowed me to be his servant.
Amen.
And I'm just grateful.
Amen.
To be his servant and to walk with him and fellowship with him and be around folks like you and meet sinners along the way. I love old sinners.
Amen.
I love to see old drug addicts and drunks and prostitutes and people like that. I love them. Because I was like them. And Jesus brought me out.
Yes.
He cleaned up my life. And I'm so grateful for him. And I'm grateful tonight to be here with you. Grateful for Brother Eddie and Sister Sheila. Such a blessing they are and have been to me. And I thank God for each of you. And I hope and pray something I may have said was a blessing to you, a help to you. And I'd like to encourage you folks, whatever you do, stay close to him. There ain't nothing in the world, nothing like him, nothing. And the longer I go, it seems like the closer he becomes almost. I mean, he is more real to me than you are sitting there.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm grateful for him every day. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, when you've never met a minister before, you never know what to expect sometimes. We've had a lot of ministers through this little work here. Yeah, we've been here about 23 years. Seen some good ones and some bad ones. Amen.
Right.
A lot of ministers are polished. They can get up, boy, and they can make a delivery and a testimony, man, and they can say a lot of things to know how to stir people up or, you know, get right down, know how to ort. But that wasn't the plan. That was from a heart, from a
That's
man
right,
of God
right,
right there. That had a genuine experience with God.
Amen.
You know, not everybody's had that kind of experience.
Right.
A lot of people are just religious.
That's right.
Some people are trying to just keep themselves out of hell, but they really don't want to serve God. You know, but they just don't want to go to hell, so they think they could appease God by, you know, coming to church and maybe paying some tithes or something, and everything will be all right. Amen. But it don't work that way. Praise the Lord. You know, brethren, I've been having camp meetings for, again, about 23 years. And I don't want to say cancel, but we had to make some alterations because the motels weren't available. And I felt bad because there was many that had a place to stay with families and friends and brethren. So a lot of people were going to be able to come and we could have went on. But I felt my heart went out for the ones that couldn't. They've been calling and trying to make reservations and things. And, you know, some college decided to have a homecoming and they can't find a motel within 75 miles of here. But you say, what is God doing? The Bible says that the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed to us by the things which appear. Amen. That's Bible now, brethren. And many times, you know, I find people that miss many spiritual things by getting into spiritualism. We heard a testimony from a minister tonight, how God moved on him. That was something that happened to him. You know, some experiences that happened to him. And there's no doubt in his mind that God is alive and God is well and God is delivering, God is healing, God is saving, God is setting free. He testified about a peace that he never knew until that. You see, that's a real experience with God. But see, many people could come up and try to make you feel that they've had one. You know, and there's so many flavors of religion, so many flavors of what they say Christianity, so many private interpretations of God's word. Amen. And I was speaking with a gentleman. He is a post-rapture guy. You say, what do you think about that, Brother Ron? You say, well, are you a mid-tribulation rapture, a post-tribulation rapture, a pre-tribulation rapture? Well, I could probably really confuse you and say, I could start out by saying rapture is not even a biblical word, so we got to get into a biblical understanding. But I know that a good part of the church is pre-tribulation rapture, and I do believe this. But I know when we get into the scriptures, there's some things that's speaking about the elect and the tribulation. And we understand that, but it's a natural elect. I'm going to say some things here this evening and may get into some preaching. You know I could preach. I love to teach. And you know, most camp meeting atmospheres are preaching, you know, and evangelistic and things like that. But I perceive here that everybody here has heard the gospel message. Amen. So maybe I could talk to you as a teacher tonight, possibly. You say, well, you know, I already know all things. Well, praise God for you, because I don't. Amen. I have an unction to know all things according to the Bible. You know, and I got a hunger and thirst, man, for things of God. Amen. I like to be challenged. Sometimes we come to church and we want to hear what we already know. Oh, praise God for the blood of Jesus. You know, praise God. But the Bible said not laying again the foundation of repentance to go on into some doctrine. Now, some churches say, well, we don't preach doctrine. It separates people. Praise God for separation of people. Come to separate the sheep and the goat, huh? You know, the wheat and the tares. So, you know, brethren, if you're a preacher, you're going to be making separations. Two cannot walk together lest you be in agreement. Amen. And if you just want to pull everybody together, that's not what we're supposed to do. The only way you can pull everybody together is one way, and that's through compromise and making allowances. You can't do that. You know, preach the word, and if they can line up with the word, then you can fellowship them. Amen. When the great Billy Graham made a decision to go give counsel to the Pope, and made decisions to allow the Catholic priest to come into his meetings and said, I don't want you to proselyte these people. I want you to send them. And they put Catholic ministers, fathers in the thing. Do Do you realize that you know, and he considered himself a Baptist. This ain't a beat-up Baptist thing. I'm just speaking in general the way we should all be. And there was a Baptist major university with a man, I don't know how his son's doing, but the founder of it was a man well-known, Bob Jones. And he broke fellowship. He said, we can't fellowship that. Oh, but he's an evangelist and thousands of people come out. It doesn't matter. The Bible said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. But that's the pastor of America, Brother Rob. No, let me tell you something. The headship of any Christian is Jesus Christ. And it don't matter how seasoned your minister is or how big your evangelist is or how many thousands he has. We're going to preach God's word. Joel Osteen's got a church that we could put probably 100 of these in. And he's got thousands of followers, but he's a heathen. He said, Jesus isn't the only way. That makes him a heathen to me. You said, well, preacher, you can't be beating people up. I'm not beating people up. I'm preaching the gospel. It said, mark them that cause divisions. Show them. Expose them. Because these people are leading people into destruction, damnation, and hell. So we need to be bold as a lion, and we need to speak God's word and not be ashamed to preach the gospel. It makes people mad. You know, Jesus wasn't always nice to everybody when they come around. Woman came for the healing of her child. He called her a dog. Another man comes to bury his dad, and he said, let the dead bury the dead. I think he was kind of being numbered, maybe a little rude sometimes. He said, don't say that about Jesus. The Bible said the minister's rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Amen. The rich man comes to him, you know, and he says, hey, sell everything you got. Sell it all. Give it away. Give everything my dad and my grandfather and all them set aside. Boy, if he would have done that, he could have been one blessed man, but he couldn't do it. I like what the brother said in his testimony. He said, God saved me out of the world, out of sin, not in sin. Today they're offering salvation in sin. You can still be a queer and you can have Jesus. Now, there ain't no chance of that. You know, brother, when the Bible said no drunkard's going to enter in, you better get off your alcohol. The grace ain't going to cover you in your alcoholism. The grace ain't going to cover you sucking on your weed, man. The grace ain't going to cover you sucking up your coke. The grace ain't going to cover you when you're addicted to prescription drugs. You say, well, you can't go there, Brother Rob. I just did. Amen. I can know that merry heart doeth good like medicine. Some medicine's good. But some people are so caught up in it. And they're leaning to the arm of the flesh instead of trusting their Lord and their God. And they got themselves addicted. And it's okay because some money hungry, greedy dog for the love of money is the root of all evil. And he calls himself a doctor. And when you come to him, he's going to tell you you don't need nothing. He's going to give you something. And when he gives it to you, he's going to cause you a side effect. And then he's going to give you something else. And then he's going to give you something else. And pretty soon you're addicted on drugs, and you could get set free by Jesus Christ. Somebody give the Lord a hand, amen. Come on, church. Now, I'm going to try to go to a couple places, but this gentleman I spoke with believed in post-tribulation rapture. And here's what I told him. I said, brother, let me tell you something. The church in the tribulation or out of the tribulation? And I said, this isn't something I separate from you on. I love you. Amen. And you say, well, Brother Rob, he's an heir if he believes in post-tribulation rapture. He's got some good Bible for it. But what he doesn't understand is those elect are the Jews. They're the natural Jews. They're God's natural elect. I'm God's spiritual elect. Amen. So we start differentiating here between the Jew and the true Jew. A Jew inwardly, a Jew outwardly. So now we're talking about differentiation. So we're going to talk about Jesus. He said he made himself twain. Anybody ever read that? Both Lord and Christ. Both Son of Man, both Son of God. Okay, we say twain. We read in the scriptures, and the brother says, I don't know whether I was in body or out of body. I cannot tell. But he knew that he was in the third heaven. Come on, church. The third heaven. If Brother Charles came to me and I never knew him, or never met him before, and I said, hey, brother, how you doing? Oh, doing fine, man. Oh, hey, this is my son with me. This is my third son. Now, he might have four sons, five sons, six sons. I don't know that. But I know if this is his third, he's got a number one and two also. Is that right, brother? I mean, is that kind of, I mean, am I reaching here? I mean, if there's a third heaven, brothers and sisters, there's got to be a first and second. Amen. Amen? We could turn you over to scriptures and read that to you. If you've never read that in your Bible, I challenge you to go try me out. Check me out like the Brians did. Find out if I'm telling the truth. But he said, I know I was caught away into the third heaven. Amen? So again, with my little bit of understanding, if there's a third, there's a first and a second. So now, as this guy's having problems and complications understanding what they say rapture, we say to with the redemption of the body. Amen. I could take and read you some scriptures. You know, the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we're alive and remain. We can go into a lot of scriptures. We could call it the transfiguration, the with the redemption of the body, the catching up, the change. And we could stay within biblical guidelines. But we say rapture, and sometimes we say, well, you know, it's not a biblical word, I'll stay away from it. There's a lot of words that Christian people use that some of them go through etymology and changes and all these different kind of things. But if we are trying to understand some things about God, and he said twain, Lord and Christ, inner man, outer man, Son of God, Son of Man, body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Amen. Now we're talking Bible. Body, soul, spirit. First, second, third heaven. And you say, man, you sound New Age. Well, I don't really know what New Age is, but I'm talking everything I said is biblical. Amen. And because you don't understand me, don't start trying to speak me into something that you don't believe in, for you don't have to find that maybe you need help. And maybe you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen. So we could talk about the first heaven. And I could take you into scripture. Brother Chuck, I want you to put it up on that board. But it says in there, I quoted it just a moment ago, but it says that the invisible things are eternal. Amen. The visible things are temporal. Amen. Let's look at that for a moment, and then we're going to start expounding. Now, if we talk about a first, second, third heaven, and we talk about a body, soul, spirit, we talk about a Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Now, I could talk about the Father and tell me something that identifies him in the scriptures. Invisible. Can we say that, brother? Invisible. Okay. Now, when we talk about the Father being invisible, and then we talk about the Word made flesh, let's read this scripture right here. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's not the scripture I wanted, but that's a good one. I needed that up there too. It says that the invisible things are eternal, and the visible things are temporal. I wanted to say it's in 2 Thessalonians, but I may be wrong there. But maybe he can find it there. But if not, we'll go on. It's there, I promise you. And so we're talking about things visible, things invisible. This Bible right here, it said again, right here in Romans 1:20, they're clearly seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. But the invisible thing. So now the Father's invisible. Can we all be in agreement? I could take you, I could look up the scriptures, take time to pull them up for you. But the Father is invisible. Okay. Now the Father being invisible, man had a lot of complications through the Old Testament. Okay, here's this scripture. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay, now, we know the Father's eternal. Anybody going to deny that? Amen. So now the Father, being invisible, came and robed himself in flesh, according to the scriptures and the word. Amen. He robed himself in flesh and walked among men that they could be comprehended. Now when Philip came to Jesus, I could take you over into the Gospel of John, and Philip came to Jesus and he said, when will I see the Father? And he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? He said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. Still paraphrasing, amen? It's all in the Word. It's all in the Scriptures. So now we took something invisible and we took and made it visible and walked among men. For we can comprehend and understand the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's Word. That's the Bible too. Amen? So now we take this invisible God that man didn't comprehend nor understand, and we bring him into comprehension and understanding by the Word being made flesh. Amen. Walking among men, bringing salvation. Amen. So now This invisible Father said it dwelled within him in the fullness without measure. It dwells in you in measure. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold according to the Bible, correct? So we're talking about this God that has no beginning and no end. The Alpha and the Omega. Amen? And when Jesus walks among men, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I have no beginning. Amen? Amen? Come on now, church. So now he is speaking, and when these Pharisees are watching him speak, they're saying, but wait a minute. When he spoke about being before Abraham, that wait a minute, you're just 30-some years old now, and you're going to be come over here, and you're going to start talking to me about this. Come on. And they had a real problem with that. Come on, church. Amen? Why? Because it was God robed in flesh to bring himself. The Bible said these three are one. The Bible, you go over and read in 1 John 5, it says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost said these three are one. Amen? So we got the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Now, if I was talking about the third heaven tonight, and I talk about the Father being relative to the third heaven. Amen? Now, what is Jesus referred to in the Bible? He's the way, the truth, the life. He's a door. The Bible says that he is a mediator. Is that right? Anybody ever read that? Between what? God and man. Amen? The cross. Amen? So here he is. He didn't come through the blood seed, through the loins of a man. It had to be a virgin birth. Amen? You know, I'm not beating up Billy Graham here, but Billy Graham in his writing said he doesn't think it's necessary to believe in a virgin birth. Now, he said this himself. You know, I gain nothing by taking a great man of God with all the great exploits that he done and saying these things, but I'm just talking about the man was confused. You say, well, who are you? I'm just a son of God, man, preaching the gospel, man. I got filled with the same spirit that man said he got filled with, and it gave me an unction, an understanding, a revelation. I preach God's word. I listened to him talking about the Godhead, and he said, well, we'll never understand on this side. That's not what my Bible said. The wicked don't understand. He said he gives us an unction to understand all things. I'm not going to make a testimony of that. This is what I'm speaking about here tonight. I'm talking about things of God. So if we got a first, second, third heaven, and the Father's relative to this third heaven, and the third heaven has to do with invisible. Amen? The things that are internal. Now, to help you believe that there's more than one heaven besides using the scripture of the third heaven, I'm going to talk about some things of that the Bible said is a mystery. It said, I show you a mystery. What is a mystery? It's a secret. Now, I could turn you over in the book of Revelation, read this, but I'm going to paraphrase again because if I take time to go over all these places, you go search it out for yourself. But in the Bible, it said that there's no marriage or given in marriage in heaven. Anybody ever read that? Okay. There's no male nor female. Anybody ever read that? Talking about the third heaven now. We can't put this in all the heavens. Because my wife over here is a female. Sorry for you transgender bunch of perverts. My wife's a real female. She was born that way and God made her that way. Amen? Huh? All right, yeah, let's give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. My grandchildren don't need to have somebody figure out what they is. Amen? We're not going to let them come figure out what they want to be. If my grandson came home and said he wanted to be a girl, he's going to get whooped. I got a little granddaughter. She's a little tomboy here. But if it gets a little bit overwhelming, she can't wear that long dress, we'll fix her. Huh? Come on now, church. You say you're meddling, preacher. No, I'm just talking common sense. Amen. Let me tell you something, people, and we got people tuned in and listening and stuff. Let me tell you something. If there was no God in heaven and no eternal life, you know what I think, Brother Charles? I think a little girl's supposed to be a little girl. I think she's supposed to be dainty. I think she's supposed to be feminine. And I think the little boy's supposed to go out there and roll in the mud and get dirty and tear his little toys and trucks up and make whatever the little boys do out there. And there should be a differentiation and a difference between them. But now they're trying to put them all together. And we're getting a world full of a bunch of sick perverts and sissies and queers. And they're taking over the government and they're taking over the school system. Amen? You say, I don't like your preaching. Well, I love it. Amen. And I approve this ad. No. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's okay, man. Just smile and love Jesus. Amen. Somebody better start preaching against sin, huh, Brother Charles? Everybody's appeasing and compromising and changing their Bibles for they don't offend nobody. People need to be offended. I like what the brother said from Wells. He said, you need to be offended until you could be offended no more. Amen. And if you're doing something contrary to the Word of God, the Word is going to offend you. Amen. Well, the Bible says you better have to put a millstone around your neck. You better get back in the Word and understand. That's talking about a little one. I offend devils every day. Amen. I offend drunks, Brother John. I offend dope addicts and perverts. I've been thrown out of places and prisons and stuff for preaching the Word of God. Amen. I just don't believe in having a queer song leader.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I don't want some fag up here singing for me about Jesus. If he's going to be singing, the only thing he needs to be singing is repentance. Oh God, I need a Savior. I need to be set free. I need to be delivered of this perverted, filthy devil I got. Amen. Don't you try to make it God made him that way. But he did, because the Bible said he made some to be taken and burned. Just needed some fuel for the fire of hell. Amen. And you say, well, you work it out with the scriptures. Amen. But let's go on here for a moment. I've got some more Bible to read here, but I'm just kind of laying a foundation of thought for a moment. Is that okay? We might be here for a while. You've been up at a ball game till 10:30, so just take it easy. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you watched part one of some wretched movie and you thought you was going to bed when it was over, but you couldn't stand it till you got part two down your throat. And you stayed up until 1 a.m. You know, you heathen. Don't put no timeline on no preacher now. Amen. I love people, Brother Charles. Amen. We just like to get it right down here, down the trail here. So I find this man, and I said, Brother, I love you, man. I'm not upset with him. He was afraid I was going to be upset with him about him believing in post-tribulation. It's not being upset. It's just I shouldn't get upset. I should say, well, let me help you in the Word. And I don't have to separate with a man that's struggling with that. If he thinks he's going to go through the rapture and he's filled with the Holy Ghost and God takes him and changes him in a moment to him, and he finds himself not in it, man, he'll just be one happy camper, huh? He's worried about my church, Brother Charles, that everybody here should get prepared for this tribulation period. Amen. I did all the preparation necessary when I accepted my Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ that died for me at Calvary and gave me his Spirit. Amen. Okay, now back to the third heaven. I said the Father is invisible, and the Father is relative to the third heaven. And then we go over in 1 John 5, and it said the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Philip went over to Jesus over here in the book of John, and he said, when will we see the Father? And Jesus said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. And then we go over into the Scriptures, New Testament also. He said, the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ shall dwell in your mortal, the part relative to the earth, mortal. You see, this body's relative to the first heaven, brethren. The inner quickening of the Spirit is relative to the third heaven. And you say, well, I don't think these things are necessary. I'd like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, that I just came with, not with some superior wisdom or eloquence of speech, but just with the knowledge of Jesus and him crucified. But you need to be careful there. Amen. This brother went into some mysteries and some depths. So in his writings, he said, I show you a mystery. Book of Revelation. And he said he saw a woman in heaven. Okay, and the Bible says there's no male nor female there, and there's no marriage there, and there's no given to marriage there. But now he's saying in the book of Revelation that he saw in heaven a woman in travail to bring forth a child. And let's go on a little more now. It said that there was a red dragon there to devour this child as soon as it was born. Amen. But then this child was born. There was a place prepared in the wilderness for the woman, and this child was caught up. Now, if it was in heaven, which way's up? If it was the third heaven. Okay, it's the second heaven. And you say, well, how can you say this, preacher? Because everything that was said there was unrelative to the third heaven. And if he said there's a third heaven, and he says in the Word of God is true, and every man be a liar. The Word and God is the Spirit of truth. Amen. And he said there's no marriage or given to marriage there, and no male nor female. And then we got another revelation that comes forth and said that there's a woman there in travail to bring forth a child. So I better get some understanding here. And this woman was there in the second heaven. Now, We're going to talk about Jesus for a moment. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word, amen? Yes. Jesus is the Word. I could take you into the first book of the New Testament. The Word, let's talk about the Word. Amen? And the Word is with God. And the Word is God. So now we're going to talk about Jesus. And you just now put him in the second heaven, but he was caught up to the third. When he was born, he's caught up to the third. But then the Bible said he condescended to men of a less estate. Okay? Now man's in the earth. Now when the tail of the dragon went around a third part of the stars and it cast them into the earth. Okay, this is the Bible, right? Now those have to do with angels. Okay? Fallen angels. Okay? And they went into the earth. Now those angels that were cast out, you know where they want to be. Everybody knows that, right? They want to be back in the third. Is that right? Amen? The Bible says that hell was not created or made for man. Anybody ever read that? Amen? Hell's not eternal for some of you that think it is. You say, oh, I'm losing you right there, preacher. I know an eternal damnation. I do too. I believe that. But it said death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is eternal. So we're differentiating. Now, I'm going to say some things that sound like I'm contradicting the Bible, and I'm not. But I'm trying to get you to see that you have to differentiate the Word to understand it. Okay? Now, I can take you into Scripture. It says that heaven and earth shall pass away. Anybody ever read that? Now, how is my heaven going to pass away, John? This is my eternal dwelling place, and this is the place I'm supposed to be with the Lord God forever. And the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. So I better get some understanding here and some revelation. Okay? I'm talking about there's a lot of people confused, brethren, because they're not in doctrine and in the Word. And they don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God, a workman who need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word. We got to make Jesus both Lord and Christ. We got to make him twain. The Catholics have a teaching and a doctrine of Jesus being a three-person God. You say, oh, man, are you a oneness? You show me some Bible for that. Show me a Bible for Trinitarian. Show me a Bible for oneness. I'm not either one. I'm a son of God, a child of God, been born of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, granted me some understanding. Amen. I had to transform my mind. I didn't transform it to think like the rest of the preachers. I transformed it into the mind of Christ. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Come on, brethren. He made us joint heirs with him. He gave us everything that pertaineth unto life. We pass from death unto life. We're eternal in the heavens. We cannot die. And you say, Brother Rob, man, somebody come in here and shoot you and blast your blood all over that thing. You dead. No, I cannot die. The last enemy of God was death. And the Bible said that he came and abolished death, done away with death. We, the sons of God, are born of God. Our spirit is hid away in the third heaven, sealed in with Jesus Christ. Amen. And nothing could be laid to your charge and nothing could touch you. Give Jesus a hand. Amen. Amen. I haven't left the scriptures or the word. It's all within the writings of the Bible. We just need to start believing it. We need to start differentiating between the invisible world and the visible world. Problem is, too many Christians love the temporal things of this world. The Bible said that the things of this world, these things are seen, are vanity and vexation of the spirit. They'll take your life. They'll take your soul and they'll destroy you. We can't love the world. We can't fellowship the world. We're supposed to be peculiar people. We come out of the world. But they're offering Christianity today, Brother Charles, that is worldly and fleshly. They want to bring the ball players in. We don't need them people in our church. If they get born again, they ain't going to be out there in that filth and that perversion. I'm not going to go out there where they're stripping off women. I'm not going to watch no car races, Brother Mike, when they get some stripped off hoe that comes up there and hugs the guy and gives him his trophy in some kind of bikini. Sons of God don't got no business messing with that junk. It shows your carnal mind and you're of the world. Come out of the world. You say, come on, preacher, that's bringing it down to the tight line. Somebody needs to. Amen. The church is compromised. Not the organized religion, the apostate church is compromised. That's why America's a mess. We're going to go on into some doctrine still. America's a mess. When they come to Jesus and said that you're casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, what did he say, Brother John? He said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And if I were casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, it would destroy. It wouldn't stand. Beelzebub wouldn't stand. The devil couldn't stand. So he was saying, hey, you know, and he was teaching us something. America says, united we stand, divided we fall. Brethren, if this nation ain't divided right now, come on, brother. Well, don't you talk about America. Bless God. Let me tell you something. I'm a patriot. Well, I hope you get born again because Jesus is my king. He's my Lord. Amen. He's the King of Kings. Amen. I could say the president of all presidents. I honor my country. I honor the military. I honor the police. But I've got something superior to that. His name's Jesus. Amen. He is my Lord. He's my God. He's my King. He's my everything. Amen. He's my counselor, the Prince of Peace. Amen. That's who we submit to. That's who we yield to. If we go through the fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, praise God, we won't get burned. Amen. We need to quit compromising for political gains and political powers. We don't have no business messing with that stuff. We're sons of God. We're the children of God. We're the light to this world. We're supposed to be bringing salvation to the people of this world. And when the world's going to hell, we need to take the responsibility, Brother Charles. We can sit and blame it on this and blame it on that. It's because they talk about the fags coming out of the closet. The problem is the preachers came out of the closet of prayer and they're not standing for the people and praying for the people no more. They turned into business and hirelings. I like what the brother said in his testimony. Lord, I'll do this, but I ain't going to ask none of nobody. It's hard to find a preacher like that. It's hard to find a preacher like that. It's all about money. Brother Pike was preaching and a preacher goes up and says, well, what's your gimmick? What do you mean, what's my gimmick? He said, I'm here to win souls. Oh, but what'd you do to get an offering? Brother, I'm not here for the offering. I'm here to win souls. Amen? Amen? Come on. Okay, let's go back into some doctrine a minute. Y'all got a few minutes? Amen? So we established that there got to be more than one heaven. Because we find a violation, if there's only one, then we got a violation of the word. So now listen. So we got a third heaven. The Father's there. The things that are invisible there. The Father's invisible. The Father feels he come into Jesus. Now, he didn't come through the loins of man, as I said earlier. The Spirit of God overshadows Mary and puts a seed in her. Amen. And brings forth Jesus Christ. It wasn't through the loins of man. There was no corruption in him. There was no corrupt blood in him. Come on, there was no sin in him. There was no guile found in his mouth. He was pure and holy, amen, and righteous. He didn't go to the cross for his sin. He had no sin. He went to the cross for my sin and your sin. Okay, that's simplistic gospel, yes. So, we find here that Jesus made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, Son of God. The Bible says that you and I have an inner man and an outer man. Amen. Have you anybody read that? It's in there. If I was going to, I've done this before, I say, I'm going to stand over on this side of the desk and I'm going to speak. The Apostle Paul made a statement. He said, brethren, I would like to speak unto you spirituals. But what are you going to say? But I find you still yet carnal. Amen. He said, the things that I want to teach to you, you should be teaching them. So he wanted to speak to you as spiritual, but he said he found them carnal. Now the Bible says again, the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. But the Bible tells us that are spiritual, that we've passed from death unto life. Amen? Okay, so now we've differentiated first, second, third heaven, body, soul. We haven't really divided the body, soul, spirit yet, but we can do that in a minute. It says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the bone from the marrow, and the spirit and the soul. Most theologians say there's no difference. You can interchange the soul and the spirit. No, it's not that way. Because the soul has to do with the second heaven. Do you realize that the Bible says, New Testament doctrine, there won't be one person that's going to go to hell or to the lake of fire for the sin of the flesh? It's not the sin of the flesh, it's the sin of the soul. Jesus purchased and paid for the price of the flesh. Sin came by one man, talking about the first man, Adam, and it was done away with by another man, the second man, Adam. Okay? That was done away with. Okay, so then where do we find this, and how do we deal with this, and where do we understand this? So now, we're in a perverted generation full of snakes, vipers, and hypocrites right now, and men don't know if they're men anymore, and women don't know, and they got the bathroom thing all goofed up and messed up. I ain't part of that crowd. But let me tell you something. I got to quit preaching right now because I'm the bride of Christ, Brother Charles. And it said the woman to be silent in the church. A woman can't accept authority, and an evangelist and a pastor's an authoritative position. They take authority over spirits and devils. It's an authoritative position. I suffer not the woman to suffer authority. So I'm the bride of Christ. I got to quit preaching. We better differentiate here. Come on now, church. Listen to me. Well, what are you, Brother Rob? I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God, a son of God. The Bible said, beloved, now. We had an ignorant white cracker president a few years back. And they took him into court before the people of America. And he speaks up to say, hey, I'm ignorant. He said, could you define his for me? Does anybody remember that? Come on now. Does anybody remember the ignorance of a president stand before the people when he was caught in the very act of perversion of filth? And he should have been ran out of the Oval Office for defiling it. But he said, define his for me. So if our president could be that stupid, is there anybody ignorant enough in this church not to know what now means? Raise your hand if you don't know what now. Now is now. He said, I am the I am. That's now. He said, beloved, now. Now you are the sons of God. I'm not waiting someday to go out here and be put in a box to be a son of God. He said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. Amen. Why? Because I'm born of God. I've got a father. My spirit cries, Abba, Father. I've been born again. I didn't say born in the future, born now. Yes. Amen. We need to know who we are. We're the elect of God. We're the sons of God. We are the children of light. We are the children of the resurrection. This is all biblical terms. We need to know who we are, church, for we can walk in power and authority. Amen. Amen. Okay, now. So here we are, differentiating. He said, I'm coming back for my bride. Amen. Now we're going to talk about two comings of the Lord. Can I do that for a minute? I broke down your heaven into first, second, third. Well, in one place in the Bible, it said, every eye will see him. Amen. We got Jesus on the white horse coming in the clouds here. Okay, every eye will see him. What is that? That's not coming for the church. That's the great and terrible day of the Lord. Go read your Bible. He's coming back for his elect, the Jew. That's when he's coming for the Jew. Every eye will behold him and every eye will see him. But let me tell you, there's another place that said he's coming like a thief in the night. Does every eye see a thief? He ain't a very good thief if everybody sees him, Brother Charles. So we're talking about two different comings? Now come on, church. If you are part of the body of Christ, if you are part of the body of Christ, and you're sitting around going, oh, someday he's coming for us. Just hang on. The Bible said, a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. Brethren, let me tell you something. He said, I am the I am. He said, today is the day of salvation. Amen. Now, some 2,000 years ago, when they took and crucified him and put that body into a tomb, amen. We know the Bible said he suffered not the Holy One to see corruption. He came forth as the resurrection. Everybody I hope believes that, because without believing that, you got no nothing. You got no hope. Amen. So he is the resurrection. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Okay, now. So here this Jesus said, you go and tarry there. You go and tarry there until you're endued with power. Okay, was that a lie that he said? He's the spirit of truth. Okay, what happened? 10 days. Amen. You know, he had to breathe on his disciples to give them enough strength they could make it 10 days. Isn't that something? Poor old man, I tell you. But in 10 days, They were in an upper room in one mind and one accord. Church, we got to get back in one mind and one accord. Come on, too much division. Well, I'm Baptist. I'm Pentecostal. I'm Church of God. Shut up! I'm a son of God. I've been born again. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. We got something in common. A father, hallelujah. And we got a spirit crying, Abba, Father, hallelujah. And we walk. We don't pierce each other through, nor do we break ranks, amen? But we stay with the Word. The only thing that can separate us is when you get out of the Word. Amen? All right, let's go on for a moment. So I stand here and I say, I'm the bride of Christ. He's coming for his bride. Okay? And I say, I can't a woman be silent in the church, so I got to be something different than the bride. Now, Jesus made himself twain, both Son of God and Son of Man. Do you want me to speak to you as a man? Now, the Apostle Paul done this. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The things I want to do is the things I find myself not doing. And the very things I find myself doing are the things I don't want to do. Okay? Oh, wretched man, he said, that I am. The Bible said all of sin, Brother Charles, and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? The Bible says in 1 John 1, it says if you say you have not sinned or have no sin, you're a liar and you deceive yourself. Is that correct? Again, in the scriptures, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, so whew, I'm sick of talking like a man. Whoa, let me get over here on this side. Woohoo! I'm a son of God, hallelujah. I've been born of God. The Bible said, ye that are born again, what? Cannot sin. Oh, but wait a minute, brother, man, I'm a sinner and I sin every day. Well, I will invite you to get born again. I was a sinner. I used to be relative to sin. I used to be relative to this world. I used to be relative to the flesh. But now I'm a born again new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. I am that new creature now. I'm born of God. He set me free. He gave me the power of the Holy Ghost to tread on the scorpions and the serpents. He gave me a profession, a testimony. He said, he is the high priest of my profession. And my profession is, I've been born again. I've been born of God. And I cannot sin. And it goes on to say why I can't. It said, because his seed remaineth in me and keepeth me from sin. Now that's Bible. Eat it. Chew it up. Amen. It might be a little bit bitter. Amen, but eat it. So I take you over to 1 John 3. 1 John 1 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and deceive yourself. 1 John 3 says, if you're born of God, you cannot. He didn't say you might, you maybe. Why can you not? Because sin is the sting of death. Come on, church, this is Bible. Sin is the sting of death. So how can I say I pass from death unto life if I'm a sinner? That's the first birth. That's the part relative to the world. That's the part relative to the first heaven. That's the part relative to the Adamic nature of Adam. But my Lord and Savior, Jesus, came as a mediator in the second heaven, the cross between God and man. And he came as a door and opened up a door that I can go through, amen. He stands and knocks at the door and he says, come and sup with me. Come and enter therein. Well, let's go on, church. You see, if I cross some of your theological barriers, maybe you better look a little closer. Amen. I tell them on the radios. I tell them on the CDs. I tell them in the prisons. If you could show me or prove me where I've erred in the scriptures, please come to me. I'll receive you and welcome you. But brother, and I haven't erred in the scriptures tonight one time. Everything I said is Bible. I believe what Jesus said. He is the truth. And when he said that I'm born of God and I cannot sin, I believe because if I can sin, brother, means that I have not passed from death unto life. So then we go over to Romans 6 and it said, well, you know, if grace abounds that much more, he said that we continue on in sin. What did they say? God forbid. This isn't a license to live like a dog. This is something you've been filled with the power and you don't want to walk in the world no more. You know, you Protestant people, you get mad at the Catholic priest because some guy goes over there in that booth and he says, oh, Father, you know, I've sinned. You know, my next door neighbor's wife was out mowing the yard in her bikini. Whew, she was looking good. I'm sorry, Father. I couldn't help myself. I went over and mowed the yard for her. God. Come on, I'm mocking the devil. You Protestants will mock that Catholic church. You Protestants will mock that man that goes in there and he says, count your beads, say your Hail Marys, and you go back and you live like a dog and a devil. But let me tell you what many of the Protestants done, Brother John. Because the daughter of the whore. Come on now, this will offend some of you, and I'm sorry. I hope you get over it. But if you aren't careful, you'll be a daughter of the whore, and the daughters of the whore are going to return back to the whore. And many of the Protestants have returned back to the Catholic Church. Right. Kenneth Copeland returned back to the Catholic Church last year. Why? Because he's of his father, the devil, and he's in false doctrine. And he needs to get born again. Oh, you Pentecostals ain't going to like that, are you? But I'm just telling you, he goes and he called himself a prodigal son and going back to the Pope. Come on, brother. Two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement, the Bible says. Well, you need to be careful, Brother Rob. You don't want to speak against God's elect. God's elect ain't going to go bow down to the Pope. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Brother, we're in a messed up, adulterous generation. This apostate church, the Bible said the whole world shall follow after the Antichrist. Our theological institutions in America have been taken over by the ministers of Satan. Read your Bible! It said the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into angels of light, deceiving the very elect if it were possible. Where do you think Satan's going to climb up when it's said he climbs up into the upper lintels, the upper echelon? What do you think that is? It's the apostate church. I'm differentiating between the false church and the true church. Brethren, I wish that we could find a tag of a denomination and say, man, this one's of God and this one's of the devil. It ain't that way. Brethren, I've seen some people in all different walks of life that got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. That made them a son of God, a child of God. Amen. There's some people that are trained to defend their theology of their denominationalism. And it's brought division. Amen. We need to know the Word of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. And we need to listen. You know, when this brother come up here behind testifying tonight, it made me think of a great man of God back in the 40s. And he was trained that them people of this particular Pentecostal movement were devils. His mother-in-law said, they're devils! You stay away from them people! They're white trash! And this was a white man and a white mother. Said, them people's white trash! Stay away from them! And he wandered into a meeting with them. He was a Baptist boy. That was back in the days of holy rollers, amen. Some of you might need to roll around a little bit and get some of that old stench off of you. The Bible said you're a stench in the nostrils of God. Maybe the carpet might take some of it off. I hope so. Come on, church. They asked this man to come up and testify. This Baptist boy. They asked him up to testify. And he said, man, that the power of God moved on him. And he heard these people and he seen these people. He said, man, these are good people. Why would she say? And all of a sudden he become one of them white trashers, Brother John. And he gave his life trying to get people to remove some of these denominational things. He hated denominationalism, this brother did. There's been many great men of God that made great works, and the people led it into trash and wrong and error. Many things. We need to be cautious and be careful. Y'all getting quiet in here. I think you wandered into Baptist church here tonight. Brother, listen to these people all quiet here. Yeah? Amen. All right, let's go on. Can you give me a few more minutes? I've opened up several things. We're going to get closed up. Possibly it'd take weeks, but we're going to try to do our best here. Amen. Can I bring in this revelational doctrine in 5 minutes? No. Okay, we're talking about first, second, and third heaven. We're talking about body, soul, and spirit. We're talking about being the bride of Christ and the sons of God. Beloved, now ye are the sons of God. The Bible said that ye that are born of God cannot sin. But when I was born as a son of man, I am sin, shapen in iniquity. Born and shapen in iniquity, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you want to stop there, church? Now, sin is the sting of death. Jesus said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. I'm one of them blessed men. Sin ain't going to be imputed to me, Brother Charles, because if it was imputed to me, it means I'm going to die. But I pass from death unto life. Can you believe that, church? Well, my grandma loved the Lord with all of her heart, Brother Rob, and she died. If she loved the Lord with all of her heart, she did not die. She went to sleep. When Lazarus was in the tomb, and they come to Jesus, and they told him that he had died. Yeah, the Bible said that Jesus wept. But he said, no, he's not dead. What did he say? He's asleep. They said, no, sir. Come on, man. He's dead. I'm telling you, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. He stinketh by now. But the Lord said, no, he's asleep. Right? So we got to differentiate between sleep and death and between first, second, third heaven and body, soul, and spirit and the Lord and the Christ and the Son of Man, the Son of God. So what are you trying to do, preacher? I'm trying to open up your understanding. Because you'll never believe the spiritual things of God when you think like a man. Because when you think like a man, you're carnal-minded, and the carnal mind is death. So you need to think like a son of God. Amen? Amen? A son of God believes that the impossible things are made possible. Come on now. Come on now. A son of God believes when the doctor comes to him and said, sir, you got cancer in your body. And man, I'm going to give you 3 months. The son of God says, sir, I got another physician named Jesus. Amen. And he said, by my stripes, you are healed. Sir, I believe in Jesus' word. He's my physician. And I say, sir, I respect you. I respect your medical practice, but I'm a son of God. And I got another doctor named Jesus. And by his stripes, I'm healed. And faith is invisible, brother. But it's going to be made manifest. It's going to make something into a substance. And when I told him, the doctor says, I got evidence here. You're dying. I say, I got evidence by the blood of Jesus and the stripes on his back. Amen. That I'm being healed. Amen. And I'm going to walk into that doctor's office in 7 months or a year when he said, I won't live 3. And I'm going to say, look what my God done for me 2,000 years ago. That's a son of God. He's Jesus is the high priest of his profession. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the vanity of this world. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. We've seen some mighty miracles in this little church. There's a lot of lying miracles, lying signs and wonders. But we've seen God do some things. Real things. Amen. Let me tell you something. Well, Brother Rob, what are you? A Pentecostal? Are you Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Assembly of God? No, I'm a son of God. I've been born again. And I find that the doctrine of my Lord and Savior has separated me from a lot of the world, brother. Because the world, the apostate church, Brother Charles, has gone into gross error. Come on. This brother testified tonight, talking about an anti-Baptist move and talking about these some beautiful things, right? But he said in 1977, I listened to him clearly, that he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. I've looked at a lot of denominations since 1977. And brother, let me tell you something. They've altered. My Bible said my God's the same today, yesterday, and forever, and to every generation. He is not going to change for this 2018 people. He's not going to change, brother. He is a God of holiness. He is a God of righteousness. Amen. Let me go on just for a minute. I got to close some of these doors. Okay. So I said that I'm the bride. He's coming back for his bride. Okay. So now I say I'm a son of God. Where did the son of God come from? Well, the woman that was found in the second heaven, brother. You know, you're speaking about Mary and about Jesus, about him being caught the throne. I say, yes, sir, you're exactly right. But he said he was the firstborn of many brethren. Amen. Come on now. Now, me as a man, in the second heaven, not in the third heaven, not in the spirit, but in the soul perspective, I show feminine, the bride of Christ. He came and washed me and made me without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You know why he had to make me without spot, wrinkle, and blemish? Because the king wasn't going to go into a relationship with something impure. Amen. You go into the Old Testament, it's the allegory, the types and shadows. The Old Testament, the book of shadows, the first heaven. And you find that when a woman was being prepared to go before the king, she went through rituals and washings and purifications. And she went before the king. Well, the rituals and washing of the blood of bulls and goats wasn't good enough for my God. Amen. But he shed his blood at Calvary that he could wash me and make me pure as an unspotted, without blemish lamb, that I could go before the throne of God. Amen. As the woman went before the throne. Amen. Now listen to me, church. New Testament doctrine. It says the woman is saved in childbearing. That's New Testament now. Now I go back into the Old Testament. Stay with me for a minute. I'm trying to put a lot of information down here in a short order of time. We go into the Old Testament. God repented that he made man. When Eve was in the transgression and the fall, he could have said, I got a problem here. God, we're just getting started. And it's this stinking woman. But if God would have wiped Eve off the face of the earth, brother, then man couldn't fulfill what God asked him to do. Multiply and replenish the earth, first heaven. Listen to me, church. We had a scripture up there on the board just a moment ago, Romans 1:20. For all of these unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things which do appear. Now listen to me. So we're going over to the allegory of the woman saved in childbearing. Now we come into the second heaven, in this dimension. God repented that he made man. God could have wiped you off, my friend. But he saved you for a purpose. To reproduce his image. Now, the Bible said that a seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. The Bible said that we entered in to this Holy of Holies. Amen. We entered into this secret chamber with God. Now, keep your mind out of the gutter and thinking about in the first heaven when a man and woman marry, the marriage is consummated through a sexual relationship. A marriage covenant. The Bible said the marriage bed is undefiled in all of its ways. Amen. I know I get lengthy sometimes, but hang on. Okay, so we come into the second dimension and we find that he said that he's coming for his bride. Okay, he washed her and made her pure, like pure driven snow, pure white, amen. For he could come in and have relation with her. Okay, she's a virgin just like Mary was. Talking about you, he made you pure and white as snow as a virgin, a chaste virgin. And then you entered into this upper chambers with him. And the Bible says again, I took you into 1 John 3. It said, ye that are born of God cannot sin because the seed remaineth in you. Now we're talking about something that was birthed in the second heaven and caught up to the throne in the third heaven. And what did Jesus say about you? He said, I've hid you away. Where I am, you shall be also. He hid us away in Christ. He said, we're predestined in him. So what's happening then? What's all this warfare and what's all this fighting about? He said he made us soldiers. If I'm hid away over here in the third heaven with Christ, then why am I fighting this good fight of faith? Why am I considered a soldier for Christ and I got to put this full armor of God on? Because we condescended the same thing he did into this earth to fight against the principalities and the powers. I'm not here for my salvation. I am here for your salvation, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and to the wicked and the heathen. And I'm going to bring the good news of the gospel to them. That's what we've been saved for. You know, some people got this dried up religion. Well, I got saved back in 1937. Oh, praise God. Shut up! Do something for God! Faith is perfected! Faith is perfected! Faith is perfected according to the Bible by works. Oh, but I'm saved by faith, not by works. If you ain't got no works, your faith is dead. Works don't save you, but the faith that saved you fills your heart and your soul full of the works of the Lord. You are the manifestation of God's children in the earth. Amen. Don't sit on your hind end, you bunch of lazy sluggards. Come on. We're the sons of God. We've got a message for the world. Good news and glad tidings. Amen. Oh, gosh, we can get into some real good things now. Help me, Jesus. Okay, so I make a presentation as you as the bride of Christ. Presentation of Jesus come for the bride. Come as a thief tonight, the world don't see it. They ain't going to see it. They ain't going to understand this. They don't have eyes to see. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see. Though you have ears, you don't hear. He was talking to people in the world, brother. But he gave us, he said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. He said that we know good when good comes. Amen. And he tells us that the sheep know his voice, and a stranger they won't follow. We know the voice of God. We're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We're not running to the east and to the west looking for God. We know where he's at. He came and filled me with his spirit. The same spirit that Jesus had when he walked earth is dwelling in me. Or the word of God's a lie. Amen. He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. What was the power? It's the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, 1 John 5 said, these three are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It said, these three are one. Amen. Paul said, I show you a mystery. He said, when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Didn't say in the spirit. He said, in the flesh. He said, it's a mystery. Brethren, well, let me tell you what he was talking about. He was talking about you as the bride, being the woman. And you're married under the inner quickening spirit, the masculine. And you become one in the flesh. That means in this fleshly body, in this mortal body, I got the eternal spirit of God living in me. And it's going to bring this body into righteousness, upright. And I'm going to walk in righteousness. I'm going to close up one more thing here. So the Bible said that the heaven and earth will pass away. And then the Bible says that the earth abideth forever. Well, that's contrary. The Bible's full of things that aren't right. It said it's going to pass away and it said abide forever. Now listen to me. We got to understand the earth. We talked about a seed that remaineth in you. Okay, now we go to the first heaven. Is this earth right here? It's going to pass away, brother. This earth has been corrupted. It's cursed. It's got weeds. It's got dope growing on it. It's got that stuff that makes you break out and itch all over. That's a curse, brother. Amen. You ain't no poison oak in heaven, brother. Amen. Ain't no poison ivy or shoot sumac there. Right. There ain't no weed there. Amen. Ain't no tares there. Right. Okay, this earth is relative to that. Right. This earth right here, the earthen vessel, yeah, is relative to this earth. But Jesus came. Amen. The Bible said, it speaks about the terrestrial and the celestial. Now, where I was going to read tonight, but I've taken so much time, I'm not going to go there. I probably should if I thought you could bear with me for a while. But I was going to take you over into the 15th chapter of Corinthians, and I was going to get into some things. I'd love to. I would love to be able to get into some of these things. There is a terrestrial body and a celestial body. The Bible said, speaking about flesh, it said that there's beast flesh, bird flesh, and then it goes on to talk about celestial bodies. Now let me tell you something. Jesus came, the Bible said, in the image of the sinful nature. The image of sin, the image in flesh. He was foreshadowed in the Old Testament by a brazen serpent held up on the pole for the healing of the people. Are you calling Jesus a serpent? No. I'm telling you that he came in the same image that you're in right now, a fleshly image. And he took it to the cross of Calvary and it was beaten beyond recognition. And the Father spoke and said, if this is what I do to my only begotten Son, how much more so am I going to do to the ungodly and the wicked? Come on, church. The fear of God brings wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so I talk about the earth. Now, you know that this earth is tilted on its axis. Any of you, I know the Bible says science falsely so-called, but science understands this earth is tilted on its axis. And it wobbles through space and has seasons, four seasons. But the Bible talks about you, the earth, The earth of Beth said, you're instant in season, out of season. You don't have winter time in your life. Back in 1990, about 92, Time Magazine, you go search it on your Google or whatever, but Billy Graham had an article, and it said the winter time of his life. That was the name of the article in Time Magazine. Brothers and sons of God don't have no winter time. Amen. Come on now. Why? Because we're hid away in Christ. Amen. There's no more hot and cold and sweet and sours and all that stuff. Brother, it's another dimension altogether. But let me help you here for a moment. See, why do you have to beat up this poor guy? Because the world has followed after him in their evangelical way, brother. They get thousands of people in the altars. They say, repeat this prayer with me and you're saved. And they send them off and they go back like dogs to the vomit. Brother, I believe in praying. I believe in repentance. Amen. That brother testified right there of the same faith and doctrine. He said Baptist as Billy Graham. But he had an experience with God. He didn't go back to the vomit. He didn't go back to the alcohol. Amen. Because something happened. Something changed his life. It wasn't putting his name on the row in some church. He became part of a church. The church of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so now the earth is tilted on its axis, wobbling around in seasons and different things. So we say the earth, first heaven. There's a seed relative to it. Brother Charles, if you bring me an apple seed and I stick it out there in that dirt, what's going to come forth? An apple. My God, that's some deep revelation. Brother, I'm not mocking you. You know that. I'm just talking now. Brother, I did not mean that to be offensive. You know that, brother. Brother Robert, if you put a peach seed out there, what's going to come forth? A peach, right? Come on, isn't that simple, brother? You know, the Bible said God's not mocked. When a man sows is what he reaps. You sow corruption, you reap corruption. You sow spiritual gifts and things like that, you reap those things. It's simple. The laws of God are simple. You put an apple seed, a peach seed, a grass seed, any kind of tree out there, pine, it's going to reproduce after its kind, right? Amen. But now we're talking about the Bible says in 1 John 5, it said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost said these three are one. And then it said the water, blood, and the Spirit, it said these three agree in one. Okay? So now we go over here and we talk about the water world. This earth is relative to the water world. This earth right here has been baptized in water. It was totally flooded by water. It was baptized by water. It's going to be baptized by fire. You know why? Because I've been baptized by the fire of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. But there's going to be one that comes after me that's going to baptize you with fire. Amen. Come on. That's being baptized with the Holy Ghost fire. It's going to purge all the junk out of your life. It's going to get the junk out of you. That's Bible. That's Word. Okay, so the earth was baptized in water. It has not yet been baptized by fire. Now listen to me, man. The earth is tilted on its axis. So we find it going through a water baptism. We find a seed in the water world goes in, the peach makes a peach. The pine makes a pine. Okay? The oak makes an oak. So now we come into this earth. Amen? Hallelujah, I've been baptized by water. Amen? He said, go ye into all the world baptizing them. Amen? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they went and fulfilled it in Acts, second chapter. And they went down there, and they got baptized in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible said, there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. There's no other name in heaven. There's no other name in the earth. It's Jesus Christ. Amen of Nazareth. Amen. And I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Amen. And this is what happened, being baptized with water. The earth was baptized water. I was baptized water. He said, go ye into all the world baptizing him. Peter said, for the remission of sin. Amen. Some of you dried up theologians that don't think you need to get baptized. My God came and walked on this earth. He took time to be baptized. And you reprobate doctor of theology, you better get baptized in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If my God took time to do it, you better take time to do it. You say, are you saying water save you? No, I said what saves you is obedience to his word and fulfilling the word of God. And he took time. But you, Brother Rob, I read in that same Bible that Paul said that he didn't come to baptize. Amen. He was making a point there, but he came to preach the gospel, he said. And the gospel he preached said, baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It's all through the book of Acts. But let's go on, church. So we're going to talk about the water seed. Now we're going to go to the blood seed. The Bible said water, blood, and spirit. We're going to talk about these three seeds that I'm going to close. We talk about first, second, third heaven, a seed relative to each one. Blood seed. What is blood seed? Semen, sperm. I hope that don't offend you. Brother Tyvon, a black brother. I'm a white man. Brother Andy over here is half Mexican. Brother Rastigold had no idea what he is. Man, it's all goofed up. Amen. He got a little Heinz 57 in there, okay? I hope this don't offend nobody. Amen. Okay, but listen. Brother Tyvon gets a wife, okay, relative to the second heaven, a woman. Relative to mankind, really relative to the first, has a relation with her. He plants a seed in the earth. It's going to bring forth a black child. Now, let me tell you, if his wife brings forth a white one, he needs to go talk to his wife. Now, is that right? Come on, now, listen, I'm just telling you, man. I'm being simple here. So we're talking about the differentiation of seeds in the blood life. A yellow man brings forth a yellow child or Chinese. A black man brings forth a black child. Okay. African American, whatever. Egyptian. A white man could be a German, could be in whatever. You could be from whatever. Switzerland, whatever. Wales, I don't care. It's going to bring forth after its kind. Amen. So in the water world, we bring forth that kind. In the blood realm, it brings forth after its kind. Jesus wasn't relative to the blood life. So as I said, he was overshadowed by the Spirit of God, Mary, and there was a seed imparted, and he come forth. Now we're talking about your birth. Come on now, the Bible said, he used this terminology, that you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, what must I do, enter my mother's womb? And he rebuked him, didn't he? Jesus kind of said, man, are you some kind of leader of all Israel? And you're going to ask me something so stupid? See, I speak a little more clear. Well, I'm not saying that again, but what I'm saying is I guess I'm a little more crude. Okay? People are crude in this day and hour, so I guess I'm rude in speech. I won't use the word crude. Now listen to me. So I read the scripture to you, and we can pull it up on the board, but I'm going to tell you, go look it up, 1 John 3. He said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. And it goes on to say, why? Because he said, the seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. If you don't have the seed, brother, you ain't part of it. The only way you're going to get the seed is by being washed and made pure by the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and make you spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Now you're differentiating you between the woman, the bride, and bringing forth the heir to the throne. Now, in the Old Testament, brethren, when a woman was found barren and couldn't bring forth a child, they would go and plead before the prophets. Hey, look, I'll bring my child and I'll give it to be raised right here by y'all, but I know that I ain't got no inheritance unless I bring forth a child. New Testament doc said the woman's saved in childbearing. Now, brethren, what that's saying is she's saved in childbearing. The woman, you being the bride, were saved for one purpose, is to bring forth the Christ child. He was the firstborn of many brethren. Beloved, now you are the sons of God. Amen? Come on, you want to get down and talk about what it means to be born again? Or are you going to play games and just be dry? We need to know who we are, what we are. We have passed from death unto life, new creatures in Christ. We're eternal in the heavens. And the only way that we could be eternal is by passing from death unto life. And when he said you're more than conquerors, that means that we've conquered death, hell, and the grave. Because we're born of God. Amen. If it's just simple, saying a little simple prayer, and then you go in, then why did he make you a soldier? Why did he teach you to fight the good fight? Why did he say to contend for the faith? Why did he say press for the mark? Because he expects us to gird up ourselves as sons of God, men of God, valor, men of valor. And we fight against the principalities and powers. And we stomp the serpents and the devils and put them under our feet. We don't blend into this world. We don't walk in this world. We come out of the world. We're a separate people, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Brethren, we got to walk like the sons of God for people can see God manifested in the earth and have a hope for salvation. Come on, church. We're the body of Christ. We're walking in the earth filled with the Holy Ghost and the love of God. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And that centurion was right there. And he said, "This man must who be who he says he is." Now listen, church. It's talking about you and I. Brethren, when they see you wiping the spit out of your face, he said, "They hated me first, they're going to hate you likewise." And when they hate you and speak all manner of evil against you, you look at them and smile and say, "I love you. Amen. I love you. Jesus sent me to you to share him. I'm the least of all. I'm nothing, but he's everything. Let me tell you about him." That'll change them. They'll be like that centurion. Don't you fight with them. Don't you get ill with them. Don't you get ignorant with them. When you get in your theological battles and you start getting mad and puffed up and, "Man, you a devil." This, I've had him in my face, Brother Charles, telling me I'm a devil, telling me I'm a cult. Brethren, everything I preach to you tonight is in the Bible. It's in the Word. Prove me wrong, please. Go and search it for yourself. Come show me. I've literally had them do that, Brother Charles. You know why? Because they can't. If you're stuck in your dried up theology, Brother Charles brought a dear man over here, a really fine brother in the Lord. I loved him, Brother Charles. I paid his way to India. But he said, "Brother, God didn't call me to preach doctrine." He said, "I don't preach no doctrine. Doctrine separates people." Well, I loved him, man. I mean, he's my friend, brother. I have to be truthful with him. I said, "Brother, if you ain't preaching doctrine, you got nothing to say. The Bible said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus preached, let them be accursed. That means I need to preach doctrine. Salvation is a doctrine, brother, that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a doctrine to know that he shed his blood to atone you of your sins. It's doctrine when he told you to go into all the world and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It's doctrine to say there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It is doctrine to say if they're sick and afflicted among you, let them come forward in the church and let the church lay hands on them, brethren." Amen. We've got doctrine, brother. The doctrine says that we're born of God and cannot sin, because if we could sin, we could die. And if we could die, means Jesus' blood wasn't good enough. It was good enough for me. He shed his blood and washed me and put my name in the book of life. He said he predestined me before the world ever was, and he put my name in the book of life before the foundation of the world, because he was crucified before the foundation of the world. So if you're chronological and you're looking for a chronological order in God, when the angel stood with one foot on the land and another one in the sea and lifted up his hands into heaven, he said, "Time is no more." Yeah. Amen, brethren. And we got to get out of the time sensitivity of man. Amen. We're the sons of God. We're in the one eternal day of the Lord. We pass from death unto life. I cannot die. Amen. This old body might put this thing off. The Bible said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Present with the Lord is not death. This old box, they might put this thing out in an old box and it might go back to the earth. But I'm going to tell you something. There is going to be the last trump that sounds, brethren. And every brother and every sister that went to sleep previous, that body's going to come back together, and it's going to be a massive army of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to be standing without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. The world will see us as what we've always been. Beloved, now you are the sons of God. It said that the world will see you that way and know that you always were. Amen. Just like Jesus. Amen. He was God before the world ever was. He was God before time ever was. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. The first and the last. He is God. Amen. And he robed himself in flesh to bring a comprehension to mankind about his love and his salvation. And he went back to the Father, went back to Spirit, that he could send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. The Holy Ghost came and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with power. The Pentecost said the power to speak in tongues. No, it's the power to tread on the scorpions and the serpents. It's the power to walk upright in righteousness. It's the power to stay off the booze and off the alcohol and out of the whorehouses and off the drugs and all the things. It's the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet, church. Hallelujah. And it's still early, 9:15. I thought it was about 10:30. You sit back down. I'm going to go. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Amen. You still love me?
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, you stepped on my toes a little bit, preacher. Good. Come to church next time in steel-toed boots and I'll take the rod to the ass's back. Woo! Amen. You love the Lord? God's good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. He's getting gooder and gooder and gooder. That's hokey talk or redneck, hillbilly, southern. I don't know, but he's good. See you, Brother Steve. Love you, man. Come back and see me, man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. You guys want to sing a song tonight?
Sure.
Amen.
He paid.
Took time to cook it.
He did not
serve it.
I owe a debt.
And eat it.
I could not
Amen.
Pay, I
Praise the Lord.
Someone wash my
you ready to do some preaching, brother?
Away.
I feel pretty good, so I figure I need some prayer.
Amen.
Sing a song.
Some of you, brethren, let's stand around Sister Randy. We're lay hands on her. She's standing proxy for Emmanuel's little girl. They said she's running a fever about 102, 103. Where's Brother John Luffman? Come up here, brother. This man came into altars one time, was burning up so bad that when I touched him, I went, whoa. I was shocked, Brother Jim, how hot that brother was. I touched him, I thought, wow. Man, I tell you what, it's like almost shocked me how hot he was. I have no idea how hot he was, but he was hot. And he stood there. And I said, I rebuked his fever in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuked that thing and I touched him and he was cool. And I, oh me of unbelief, I'm repenting right now. So I thought, well, maybe my hand come relative to that heat. When I laid hands on him, I touched him with the other hand. He was cool as could be. Amen. Preacher prayed a prayer of faith and then he's singing, woo, I didn't expect it to happen that quick. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Just like that, Brother John. Amen. You think God's still here tonight? Amen. You think the same God? Oh, you were standing in for him. Here she is. Looky there. Let me see that. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Brother, grab some oil. Come up here, Brother Luffman. I called you out for a purpose. Amen. My mother was doubled over crying and rolling and throwing up in pain, passing kidney stones, puking. And they were pumping stuff into her. She got no relief. I called my pastor, Brother George, on the phone. I said, Brother George, I'm in the emergency room. And I was standing right in the emergency room. They had a phone hanging on the wall. And I said, man, she is, I believe, passing kidney stones. She's hurt bad. He said, you know, Brother Ron, Lord has really blessed us. He said, you know, we pray for people that's got kidney stones and they just pass them. And he goes, let's pray, brother. So I'm on the phone with them, and my mother's over there, and they're pumping drugs in her to get her out of pain, crying, rolling, puking. And man, she was miserable. I didn't know what was wrong. I was taking her to the emergency room, and she's in the back seat, in the front seat, climbing over the seat, laying on the floorboard. She was hurting bad. I get her there, and they get her in this thing, man, and they tell me that's what they believed was going on. I called him up on the phone. He said, let's pray. He started praying. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. He started praying. And I mean like this, man, she went and she went out. You know why she went out? That stone was so painful, brother. And they're pumping her for all them drugs. They weren't affecting her. She was hurting so bad. But as soon as that stone popped out, all them drugs kicked in and she knocked out. They rolled her back and put her in a bed. And she laid there with all that drugs in her and slept through that evening. Went home the next day with zero problems. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did you get some oil? Amen. Let's pray. Too many? Brother Jim, let's pray. Let's pray, brother. Sila mashatala sishan broko soti andi hiki shete de masse. Zrori andi limakisa. He shete di makoto lo masi. I rebuke this right now. Not the fever, but the infection that brought this fever. I rebuke it right now in Jesus Christ's name. And I say, depart this body in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I ask you, Lord God, to take this away from this baby. Father God, and let this baby cool off. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan. You're a liar, father of all lies. And I say, Lord God, my Savior Jesus, your labor wasn't in vain. Your stripes was not in vain. And you had this precious baby girl in your mind when you took that beating. And I say, let this fever depart and the sickness depart and make her whole and well. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Jesus. Mashitali masolo mokoria taliase. Threda makitia shitala mokosi. Asatali andali makolo mokosi. Sidi makete indili matali masisha. Zolo mokolo mokosi. Kiri masali andali makolo mokositi. Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that the virtue go through this baby. In Jesus' name. And break this right now, Father God. In Jesus' name. Father, we see you make kidneys. We see you restore eardrums. We've seen you, Lord God, remove cancer. And Father, we know your arm's not short. Touch this child in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. She looks pretty peaceful there. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus.
Love you.
Yeah, I'm going to pray with you, brother. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I think your Baptist buddy found himself in a steakhouse for the first time. Yeah, he does. Amen. Seemed like a really good man. Really does. Wonderful brother. Yeah. Yeah. You got to do some digging. Amen. I like what Brother George said. You know what he said, Brother? Brother Lackey? My pastor, Brother George Pike. Pentecostal man. He said, brother, and I'm sure thankful I was born again in a Baptist church, the Pentecostals would have killed me. Can you imagine that? I tell you, that ministered to me so much. Yeah. He said, man, that was way back when, Brother Rob. Praise God for way back when.
Amen.
Way back when Jesus died on that cross. Amen. That brother was real, man. He had an experience, brother. Yeah, he's okay. Oh, but brother's got to get into some right doctrine. Well, he does need to do that. But what I saw in that spirit will lead him to all truth.
Yeah.
Amen. I tell you, when the Lord spoke to me about Brother Branham going into a Pentecostal church, and he was a Baptist, come on now.
Yeah. Right.
And they told him it was white trash.
Yep.
You know, and all of a sudden he became part of that white trash, brother. Go ahead. Amen.
The first time I went,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what that brother said too, wasn't it? Amen. You see, people, we need to be people before that. And they say, man, these people got joy. These people love the Lord. These people have salvation.
Amen.
These people have God. And when his mother-in-law told him, he said, man, I've found love. These people love. Let me tell you, I was going to an Assembly of God church, a Trinitarian church. And I'm going to pray with you, Brother Jim. I was going to this Trinitarian church, and my pastor and the people there, there was a oneness church across the street. I don't know what kind, if it was a UPC, an apostolic, or whatever. He said, them people are a cult. They're not right with God. But I remember being outside the church and watching them people come out of church, and they looked like good people. They looked like happy people. But I was telling these people weren't right, man. I never fellowshiped with them. And I found out that I was wrong, Brother Andy, and them over there was right. Oh, that means you're oneness, Brother Rob? Absolutely not, brother. I am believe in one God, Brother Jim. What's that? Yeah, that's right. I do believe in one God. Somebody asked Brother Pike, said, are you Jesus only? And he said, I'm only Jesus's. You know, we got to be careful of some of the terminologies we use, brethren. It'll separate us from people. We want to love people. We should be able to find a man like that there. He's real, brethren. He's real. I've met a lot of Baptists ain't real. He's okay. He's all right. Amen. We'll see what happens. Well, you think he's going to come be part of it? You don't have to come be part of this. There's something will take place in his life just like it did back in 1977. The beginning of the born again era with Jimmy Carter. That's what was taking place back then. The man of God I was talking about, that's back when he thought the world was going to end. And it did end to the dispensation that he was in. And there was another one that began right there in 1977. The Bible said worlds without end. And brother, this dispensational era of grace, I was planning on speaking about this tonight. The dispensational era of grace with Trump, what he shows. And with him wanting to build those fences up there. Be with me for just a minute longer. Wanted to put them fences on the border. Say, it don't show good for the church. Because we don't have fences. We open up and real sharp. The Statue of Liberty out there with the arms out, you know, saying, hey, come on in. You're welcome here. But see, when America locks it out like that, that shows the dispensation of grace going over. Trump showing the last trump will sound. That means the Jews coming back in. Going to come in with an iron fist. The church goes out. This is where we're at, brothers and sisters. Just talking allegories. Amen. So the thing is here we are going to have a camp meeting, have to cancel out. Brother Michael canceled his camp meeting when we went to Colorado. What does that show? So bad for us, or is it so bad for them? We have salvation. We're offering salvation. We open up our doors. And then because of this university thing, the tree of knowledge of good and evil comes in and they fill up the camp. Shows grace going out, brethren. We got to watch and see, comprehend and understand. Amen. All right, let's pray.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, you look good.
I've been having a lot of trouble with my hands.
Really?
Yeah.
Amen. Look at that. Look like the hands of a son of God right there.
The insides.
The insides.
That's as far as I can squeeze
that. Oh, yeah.
Look at that one.
Yeah.
See the difference?
We just need to loosen it up just a little bit. Let me pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I've had some things happen to me in my body, and the doctors tell me this and that, and I said, you know what, Lord God, I could deal with this. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to stop. I don't care if I get crippled. I don't care if I get blind. Brother, I'm going to preach the gospel and give my life to Jesus Christ. And every time I said, this ain't going to stop me, ain't going to slow me down, you know what, he took it away from me.
Amen.
Amen. And most of the time, of some of the greatest miracles that's happened in my physical body, I wasn't praying for him. I said, God, you know what? This ain't going to stop me. I'm going to keep on getting it. I didn't even look at it, and I ignored it, Brother Manuel. I didn't yield to it. And I said, man, I'm going on. Amen. Amen. And I kept going, and God took those things away. Amen. I had people praying for me. Yes, Brother Jim. Amen. Let's pray. Brethren, let's take this oil right here. Amen, brother. Some of you ministers, yeah, let's put them on his hands. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to put that on there. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord Jesus. And we're going to pray right now. Father God, I thank you, Almighty God. Almighty God, I thank you. Father God, this brother stepped boldly into the altars, Lord God, saying, I'm here to receive right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, knowing, Lord God, he's calling on your works, your labors, your anointing, your virtue, your power, your strength. And I rebuke right now whatever this problem is in these hands. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, I say if them ligaments need to be loosened up, if them joints need to be loosened up, if it's arthritis, I rebuke it and I say you cannot touch him in Jesus' name. I don't care what it is. It ain't too big for you, Lord Jesus. I say, Father God, touch his body, my brother, and let this thing depart from him in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I feel some lubrication in my joints, brother. Yeah, I feel it, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Last night she was in the ER and then went back tonight.
Brother Manuel's mother just, they've got another report. She was in the ER last night. They said they're taking her back tonight. Come on, church. Let's stand in prayer. I want every brother and sister in here to point their hands towards this brother as he stands in for his mother. Most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we have a God that we could call upon. Lord God, I could talk about that sister, Lord God, of her many years sitting under a great man of God. The years of finding herself laboring in a track room, Lord God, to get the gospel out, Father. The years of submission and loyalty and faithfulness, Lord God. And Father, I know her Christian actions and Christian works and Christian labors were not in vain. And Father God, I'm calling on you right now. As this son stands in for a mother right now, this brother Emmanuel, God with us. And Father, I thank you that you're with us and in us and through us, Lord God. And Father, there's no distance in the spirit, and we're speaking right now and asking that the virtue of my Lord and Savior Jesus go into that operating or emergency room right now. And whatever this problem is, them doctors could look and they could search and they find nothing, Father, because we speak in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that she's healed right now. In Jesus' name, healed now, Lord God, a miracle now, Lord God, that they cannot find nothing wrong with this sister. I rebuke the sickness in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It feels good up here. Amen. Brother Pike used to say, move over just a little bit and let me help you carry your load. Amen. And sing that song. Amen. God, just move over just a little bit, Sister Macy. And let him carry the load. Amen. You coming in here standing in for somebody? Amen. What you up here for, young lady? What? Lily. Amen. You know, God help Lily. She was used to go to this school, and she learned some things and that she can't depart and will never be able to shake. Amen. Do you believe that? Okay, let me have your hands. We'll pray. Give me both hands. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for a little sister that's concerned for her big sister. Father, knowing that you have your hand upon big sister, Lord God. And Father, we know that sometimes things take courses and times and seasons, Lord God. And Father, as this little sister stands and asks for prayer for Sister Lily, Father God, I know you hear her prayers, Lord God. And Father, we believe with all of our hearts, Lord God. And we don't just pray, but we pray without doubt. And we pray with a believing heart, Lord God, that you could reach out and touch this sister and keep her safe in this time, Father, that she can find her way back into the house of God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Keep praying, keep believing. I got a brother lost. We got a sick dad being weighed in the balances. We got family members, brethren. I got daughters that have departed the faith. Grandchildren departed the faith. Separated. Got people that hate me. And lie against the truth, speak all matter of evil against us. At one time they love you, another time they'll rend you, pierce you through. Amen. But you know what? I'm encouraged in the gospel. I'm going to keep preaching the word. I'm going to keep pressing for the mark. And I'm going to keep reaching other people's families, brother. Where I can't reach my own and they won't hear me, I'm going to be preaching to somebody else's family and God will reach out and bring them in. Amen. Do y'all believe that?
Amen.
Amen. He'll bring them in. Amen. I believe that. Amen. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have services, brethren. We'll continue on each night. We'll just kind of follow the leading of the Lord. Possibly. Maybe get some more nights and some doctrine. Amen. Give some of these other ministers an opportunity. Brother Jim, Brother Charles. We got other ministers here. I've been watching some things with some of the young brethren, some of the struggles they've been going through. Some of them thinking, well, I'm just going to throw the towel in, man. I don't know about this. Really troubles me because it has to do with the church out there, man. It has to do with the dispensation of grace going away and going over. And some of these guys are letting little trivial things, Brother Randy, little trivial things blow them out. And it'll disqualify them. It'll absolutely disqualify them. And if they're disqualified, who's going to carry this word out? Who's going to bring this word? You know, you say, well, there's other preachers out there. There's many preachers out there, Brother Jim, but I'm telling you, the word of God, a hearing for the true word is, there's a famine for it. A famine for the hearing of the word.
That's right.
That brother said through some doctrine tonight, man. Sure. I left the 99, I went after one. Oh, there was many of you getting fed. There was a lot of things that went forth tonight. There was many getting fed here. But brethren, I'm reaching. Amen. And you say, well, those things necessary? I told you, man, I found the Spirit of the Lord in the man.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. When a man's taking the time to go into the evangelistic field and preach the gospel, if he's got any air in him, Brother John. The Bible said we don't have a spirit of air.
That's right.
But when we got air in us, we need to get them things That's purged right. out of us. We need to get out of denominationalism.
Amen.
I was speaking with another gentleman. And I said, let me say something to you. And listen close for a moment. If we're going to talk about the seven churches, and we talk about seven messengers, and the light getting seven times brighter. Some of you have been in a doctrine, and the church age messengers have been named. Wesley was one. Luther was one. Martin was one. Some say that Brother William Branham was the final 20th century prophet, they say. I'll leave that with you, and that's okay with me. I think Brother Branham had beautiful, awesome, great things. I can't walk with his people today, and I won't. The people have departed the faith in some things, man, and they've got, there's some real problems there. But I told a man today, let's talk about Martin Luther. If you believe that he's the beginning of the Protestant move, Martin Luther, I believe he was one of the greatest men of God ever. Said some astounding things in the 1500s. But let me tell you, when he came out of the Catholic Church, you know what he brought with him, Brother Charles? A three-person Godhead. He came out on the doctrine of faith. That's what brought him out. He was preaching faith. So that's air to me today. Do you think God held him accountable to that?
No.
He didn't have a spirit air. He followed the Lord and he loved the Lord with all of his heart. But through the process of the church ages, the light got brighter and brighter and things have been perfected. So talking like that and looking at that scene, a great, mighty man of God. And as things progressed on, those things changed. Wesley, another one. He was a Trinitarian too, my friend. Brother Branham, if he's going to be your final church age messenger, if that's right, I'm okay with that. I'm not promoting men here, but what I'm saying is he made some statements, brother. He was trying to do away with denominationalism, is what he was trying to do. That was the thrust of his ministry, trying to get rid of denomination. There was some great powerful miracles to pull the people together, but that was his message. And that's what's destroyed this final move, brethren, is denominations.
Right.
I'm telling you, they become the enemy of God. And that's the last thing he was trying to conquer and to put down and to put away. That was the thrust of his message. He took the oneness and the Trinitarians, he brought them together. He said, I stand here before you. And he said, this man right here calls himself a Trinitarian. He called him by name. I could call him by name. One of a great Pentecostal leader back in the 40s and the 50s. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I know for a fact that man's full of the Holy Ghost. And he went over here and he said, well, Brother Robert, are you preaching a doctrine that you're going to compromise and you're going to tell people that it's okay to be a Trinitarian? Did I say that? Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is that Trinitarian could be filled with the Holy Ghost and God will lead him into all truth if we could come together in unity and one mind and one accord and we could fellowship him. But we start out wanting to show them their errors and show them their wrongs when we should be loving them and encouraging them for the good things they're doing for God and make friends with them and then bring some word and some doctrine into them. Mm-hmm. Come on, church. That's what we need to be doing. That don't mean we mingle with them. He invited us to a Baptist meeting on Friday. I'm not going to be there, Brother Mike. I hope I get an opportunity to sit down with that man one-on-one. You know him, Brother Charles? You ever met that brother? Think we can find us a good Baptist, Brother Jim? Yeah, oh yeah. Amen. All right. It's late, isn't it? Y'all keep looking at me like I'm supposed to close. Come up here, Brother John. You can close this thing down and pray over the food that we're going to have downstairs in the fellowship. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
All right. Brother John, you can dismiss us. I love y'all. Thank you for the time tonight.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.